Welcome to Things That Will Help with Buffy Barfoot. This podcast explores what it's like to be human and how to find tools to feel clear, grounded, and happier. The weekly theme will be simple as well as rich and something you can apply to your real life. The human stories ahead do not negate the hard or the dark, but rather point to the lighthouses along the way. This is Buffy. Yesterday, I went to the doctor, and it was a fancy specialist clinic where there is a team of people assigned to each body part. And I was there for my right ankle, which is destroyed beyond repair. And it's the kind of place that has like Olympians stretching in the waiting room and Denver Nuggets on the wall with their tall bodies next to these doctors. 10 years ago, at this same clinic, they told me that I had bone-on-bone arthritis and needed an ankle replacement, but that I was too young. And they gave me a stem cell injection, which helped me for a few years until recently, and it's become much worse. So I came back this week to see what could be done, and the PA came in and he looked at me and said, without any hem-hawing around, he said, your ankle is so arthritic that we can't even get a needle in it to do any sort of injection for you. It would be a complete waste of your money to do a stem cell injection or any other kind. And I just blinked at him and felt my heart just falling. And he took a big breath, and so did I. And as I was slowly exhaling, he said, but you are a perfect candidate for an ankle replacement. Tell me more, I said. He said, well, on the other side of it, you're going to have a fully functioning ankle and no pain, none. And as soon as those words came into my body, I just burst into tears. And he held the space for me well. I couldn't imagine what that would feel like, no pain. I've lived with chronic ankle pain for so long that it's become part of my inner landscape. It's the only way I know. I manage it, I maneuver around it, I compensate, I tell myself all kinds of stories to get through it, but I can't imagine life without it. And so I'm sitting here, and as the tears slowed down, I breathed deeper. And I found out more information, and I said yes. The background to this is layered and it's complicated, and I promise I'll get to why this is important. I'm not just telling you this to house my own woes. This was a long ago injury from when I was a young dancer. I suffered a bad sprain when I was running to the car in the rain between rehearsals. I was in point shoes, and I wasn't even dancing the first time I did this, but once you do it really badly, it's easy to roll it again and again. And so that kept happening, and the ankle just kept getting weaker. And I continued to dance on top of injury after injury in my right ankle, ignoring the pain and letting the adrenaline be in charge. And I spent years making bad decisions about my body that would catch up with me later, not realizing what I was gambling with. And eventually, my ankle just broke down and it stopped working. And so the layers of shame are there, of course, the layers of not taking good care, of pushing through pain, of not listening to the wisdom of my own body, and pushing myself to show up for others and for the sake of the performance instead of myself. So here is where I am holding that very old story cellularly inside a very damaged ankle. And then there's some man sitting in front of me saying he could take it all away and swap it for something new. Exhale. It seems like during the pandemic, we were looking around to see what we could salvage. collectively, what we could keep amongst the rubble. That was what kept coming up. What can we hold on to from all of this? What's still in decent enough shape to work with? What can we keep the same so that we're okay and we're comfortable? And now, after some years of that, the messages I'm getting from everywhere and everyone, from the small individual stories to the big collective universal stories, is that we must let everything fall to the ground. The good, the bad, the places we're not sure about, the cemented systems, even the ones that we think are healthy. I think we have to let it all go. And then look at the ground with fresh eyes and decide what we want to pick up and what we want to collect and put it together in a new way. I know that I would like to pick up the refreshing idea that Otis could ask me to run with him in the backyard and I could actually say yes. I would love to leave the shame story on the ground and say that I have learned enough from it and that I do not need to carry it in my body anymore. Thank you for that protection, but no more, please. No more carrying shame in the cells of my body. There might be a new option, a new possibility. But in some ways, I think if we don't let it completely break down and fall away, then we likely won't know. In this podcast, you've heard me talk about the yogic teaching of tapas, to heat something, which allows it then to transform and burn away. And this practice is effective, it's frictive, it's heating, it's effortful. But sometimes, especially lately, I wonder if something else is called for. I think about letting things that have haunted me for a very long time, ancient things, letting them just slip out of my hands with no effort, just fall like a feather or like water through my fingers, an easy release. I think sometimes we think that if something has taken years to build and codify, a system we have learned, or a career path, or a persona, or a basket of beliefs, that it should take an equal amount of effort to release it, that it should be painstaking somehow or hard, grinding. What if it took a lifetime to build a wall around your heart? But then you decided in one simple breath to let that wall dissolve and search for a better life. It is possible in just one exhalation. You don't owe anyone or anything a long and drawn out goodbye. What if we were to let ourselves break the rules and fast track healing and deep release? I think so. I think this is possible. I was sitting at a table of women last week, all writers and creatives, very smart and alive, not one ounce of small talk. And one of the women said, "Sometimes I feel self-conscious about my writing and the grammar and the rules and the stigma around all of that, and it can get in the way of what I want to say. It blocks me." And there was this collective breath at the table. A knowing silence that showed, I think, that we had all felt in our bones what she had just said, blockages that are built from a system that had nothing to do with the truth of what we have to say as writers. After a pregnant minute that felt like empathy mixed with belonging, another of the women in the circle looked at her and she said, "The enforcement of those grammatical systems were put into place to oppress people and make folks feel small, unworthy, and uneducated. Fuck them. You should write from your heart." I felt my body respond with relief. She was right. Sometimes codification can choke us into small closets where our artistry cannot grow and live without deep shame and constraint. She smiled, and all of us at the table felt a new light come into our conversation in the form of permission. I told y'all in my last podcast that I was working on rebranding and working with a brilliant photographer and artist, Lisa Foote. And she gave me an assignment to write a page about who I am and what I do. Whew. I can usually write about anything, but that is the hardest thing for me, to nail myself down. And so I started, as you might think. I am a writer. I am a storyteller. I am a mover. I am a teacher of breath, of yoga, of transformation, things like that. And when we sat down to talk about it, Lisa was gentle and affirming. But then she said, you know, I'm trying to get away from saying things like, I am a photographer, I am a brander. Because immediately when you say something like that, people have their specific theory of that. And then they put you in a small box without listening to the rest of what you have to say. I thought, wow, that really resonates. And so I tried again. I am a human. I am deeply interested in transformation and how we can take hard things and mulch them into beauty. I use writing and storytelling and movement to help me discover some of these human tangles we find ourselves in. And I try to point other folks to their own process of discovery and beauty making. I use these things. I am not these things. A difference that has mattered so much to me recently. What if we were to drop all the titles, all the codified systems we've learned, all the exacting how-tos, all the hullabaloo, and let it slide onto the floor with thanks and release? And after some deep breath, we look down, pick up a few things that feel important and helpful, and put them together in a new way that feels intuitive. It could be that easy, a brand new world. My friend Christine, she turned 50 this week. Christine Whittle, who I do the Nourish retreats with, she's a dear one in my circle. And Christine invited a few of her inner circle women to go to Joyful Journey Hot Springs and soak, sit, witness, and reflect. So many rich conversations, some new friends, some old ones, and I came back with a relaxed body and a full heart. I met a woman named Cheyenne who I loved right away. She was so integrated in her body and process. Her son, just a year ago, died of fentanyl poisoning. His name is Jerome. And I was amazed at how soft and open she is, so fluid and how she talked about it, so grateful and how she spoke of his spirit. And she was instantly tuned into me and my story. And we talked about Benjamin too, who died in such a similar way. I can always tell when someone has been through something very deep like this because they have a different entry point into conversation than most people. They're not afraid to go right into the center, into the grief, the tears, the intensity, and the on-your-knees kind of gratitude that is born out of that profound loss. They know the power and gift of loving these present tense bodies, standing in the gravel, talking by the hot pools. She knew, I knew. And so Cheyenne also has a 3.5-year-old, the same age as my Coretta. And we were talking about the relentless rhythm that parenting a young child that age can have. And she was telling me about a book called Hunt, Gather, Parent. I haven't started it yet, but it's on the top of my list after talking with her. She said, it's a look at three different indigenous cultures and how they so often have young, happy, tolerant, rested, resilient kids who don't fight things the way that Western kids sometimes do. And the book is a study of strategies and practices from these old wise cultures to raise happy and cooperative children that thrive. And so she gave me just a few examples, like how American cultures often give their kids play kitchens with plastic food to play with and cut and cook, and how in some of these indigenous cultures, the children are invited to help really cook at a young age. They have stools to reach the counter, and yes, it's messy and slow. You must slow down, and it may not be as clean and efficient as you'd like, but then the kids become integrated in the family process. The kids are not discounted and put to the side while the real house and homemaking is done. They are included and valued, taught, and not just over there doing something separate and made to be a distraction or distracted by electronic babysitters. The kids are given an actual responsibility and they're in the fold. You know, I thought as she was telling me this, just light bulbs were going off. And I thought about how many times I set my kids up in the other room with something, a screen or a game, a scenario, so that I can get my real housework done. And how I've even shooed them away when they've asked to help because I knew it would take too long, be too slow, or make too big of a mess. So I'm really excited to read this book, and I already want to change what I've been doing before I crack page one after hearing Cheyenne talk about the ideas in this book. What if we were to drop everything we've been doing and let it all slide to the floor and breathe with nothing in our hands for a few moments? And then to invite my children to look with me for what is important to create from scratch as a family. This morning, I thought about Jerome. He was only 20 when he died. Cheyenne showed me a picture. He was so bright-eyed. I thought about Benjamin. He was only 29 when he died. He also had so much light behind his eyes. When we shared about these young men, we agreed that they were both actively offering back from the spirit world in ways that they couldn't in their limited bodies. They are both very alive and in process, and Cheyenne and I feel them daily. They were undoubtedly both with us during that weekend. I sensed Jerome ushered Benjamin right into the conversation. They both gave me a gift that could only have been heard by quieting down and listening. And that, above all things, continues to show up for me as the greatest guide in teaching. Thank you, Jerome. Thank you, Benjamin. So I want to leave you with this today. We are in a time of big change. We are being called to see things differently. What is sacred is led by you, not by codified systems that you've been told about. This includes systems of grieving and recovery. These are so individual. I think this is a time to let all of it drop from our grasp. All of it. The good, the bad, the confusing, the things even that we've been wildly attached to and that feel really precious. Let it all slip to the ground so that you can take a better look. What do you want to put back into your body and into your pockets and into your language? What if you could leave these things for a while so that they don't take all of your nutrients? And rebuild with your children, your beloveds, in an intuitive and conversational way that has a lot of air and a lot of light. It's time to reevaluate everything. Everything is at stake and nothing is exempt. You get to make your own way, thank goodness. You have permission to make your own way. So listen, breathe, get quiet enough to notice what sparkles on the ground, and pick up only the pieces that feel right and resonant. My patron of honor today is Amy Belanger, and she's so, so lovely. Amy has such a good spirit. She was born and raised in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and she's recently registered with the Canadian Reiki Association as a Reiki Master Practitioner. Amy says, "I have learned just how much I love the beauty and the energy of the Rocky Mountains, both in Alberta and Colorado." Amy's favorite quote, oh God, I love this one too, is by Leonard Cohen, "Ring the bells that can still ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." Whew. I will put Amy's Insta handle and a way to reach her for her Reiki in the show notes. Thank you to all of my amazing patrons for supporting this work in this place of storytelling and transformation. I see you and appreciate each of you so much. If you would like to become a patron and join our growing community, there will be a link for that as well in the show notes. Have a gorgeous day.